the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. The year was 1968, and the automotive industry was in a panic mode, looking for a prototype crash dummy that could be used as an average male, large male, and small female. Who did the brilliant minds of American ingenuity turn to?
Yo, police!
Recent historical records have surfaced proving Alexander Graham Bell's first telephone call in 1876 was not his assistant, Mr. Watson, but to...
Yo, police!
Asking him to order Chinese. Ladies and gentlemen, fresh from a crash test at Yucca Proving Grounds, your host... Paul Lavoie.
I'm American made. I got American parts. I got American faith. In America's heart. Go on, raise the flag. I got stars in my eyes. I'm in love with her. And I want.
All right, welcome to Speak Out for a Friday. Love to have fun on a Friday. It's May 12th, 2023, and there's actually a significance to that date, May 12th. I do believe. Anyway, we'll find out from officially from an author. I'm going to call him an historian, even though he doesn't like to be called a historian. Author and historian. When you know a lot about history like you do, Stephen, then you deserve an intro like that. Plus, you're my new best friend today. Stephen Mikoski is here. Why is he my new best friend, Ron? Why would you think?
I have no idea.
See this challenge coin?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When you give me something like that, it's a challenge coin for PACE, which is also the Patriotic Americans for Constitutional Education, a two-sided coin. It has Article 4, Section 4 on the back.
Cool.
Is that wicked or what?
They gave me a shotgun, so I don't know how you
I love
rate
challenge
it.
Coins. So anyway, and before we get to all of that, and of course, District 5 Mojave County Supervisor Ron Gould, who I'm told that would probably win the popularity contest on the board. I'm kidding.
You can't. The blank stare doesn't translate right on the radio.
But speaking of popularity, Roger Galloway is on the phone. Roger, and I say that because you're the most popular host, according to one of our listeners, who says you
That's
are the best.
I just need one vote.
He says you are the best host that we ever had on this show. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I will get on the floor. I'm not worthy and all that stuff. But there's a new show starting up tomorrow, a public affairs show from the county called To Your Health. And I'm going to let Roger explain what this is all about.
Yeah, I think it's really, really interesting and entertaining as well as informative, by the way. Truly, I really mean that. And the first show tomorrow at 12:30, it follows the KRMC health program.
Right.
And it's really interesting because we talk about our senior centers. And there's a lot of information that is involved in the answers that Dr. Chad Kingsley, our Mojave County Public Health Director, answers that I think people will find astoundingly interesting. There's some interesting facts, figures. We talk about how many meals are prepared out there, the Meals on Wheels program, how it's advancing. And I have a clip here that I absolutely did not know. I think it's very possible that Supervisor Gould knows this, but I didn't know it. But anyway, I'm going to play the clip, and then we'll talk about it very briefly on the way back.
Okay.
So here it is.
We have the highest percentage of veterans here in our county.
Now, that I find interesting. I've got the breakdown here. We have 14.3% are vets.
Yep.
How does that compare to not only the rest of Arizona, but the country?
Yeah, almost double on both of them, so...
Really?
Hey, yeah,
we're double.
of the number of veterans that live here. And, you know, I think it's a favorite of you've served your country, and if you're retiring, you would like an acre or 5 acres of land. You get to go out and you get to have that tranquility, that peace from the larger areas, larger cities. But in Arizona, so we're about 14%. Arizona's about 9%. But on average, the nation is about 7% veterans population, and we're 14%. So we also have the double amount of most anywhere else in the nation to a veteran. We love our veterans, and we always want to make sure that we're able to meet their needs.
So I thought that was really interesting as part of our program, and it's a half-hour show. It airs the second week on Saturday at 12:30 and the fourth week on Saturday at 12:30. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Right after Focus on Your Health from KRMC. Wow, that's quite a figure. Twice the amount.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you have a question, Ron?
No.
Oh.
And I did know that. I think amongst males it's like 28%.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's
an amazing number, and something I think, of course, to be proud of in our county, and we're glad that they came here to reside and are enjoying their life after serving our country.
And that just
they
asked me one time about gun shops in Lake Havasu, and I made a comment that they should not invade the U.S. up the Colorado River, and that's one more reason why we have enough veterans to defend the place.
Oh, right.
Hey. Oh, so we're safe.
Steven, did you have something?
Yeah, I said I'm one of those veterans.
Oh, there you go. Thank you for your service.
My pleasure.
We appreciate it. Yes. Is this something Dr. Kingsley is going to do every show, or are you going to have special guests?
I think, we're going to have guests as well. We thought there was enough to talk about for this first half hour with the senior centers, but in the future we'll probably have some other people in the health department. It's a very big department with our county, and so we'll have others as well.
So is it a call-in show, Roger?
No, it is not.
Okay, so no one will have to disguise their voice if they were to ask a question about STDs or anything.
This might officially qualify as a podcast, and we'll be able to archive the shows on the KNTR Talk website, as I understand, right?
Right, and that will help enormously for the show as well.
Oh, absolutely. That's great, and it'll be nice to be able to use sound bites from the show for the news. So I'll be listening closely as well. So anyway, great news. By the way, I'm glad you talked Dr. Kingsley into that.
He kind of talked us into it as well, believe me.
Very good. Very
All
good.
Right. Have a great show.
Thanks, Roger. Again, the show's called To Your Health. I suggested Nostrovia or Nostrovia because that means To Your Health in Russian. But yeah, that didn't fly, right? Nostrovia. But that didn't fly, so they went with To Your Health. And again, the first show, the premiere, is tomorrow at 12:30 p.m. following Focus on Your Health, the KRMC show. So anyway, yes, Stephen, you're my new best friend. This is fantastic. But you're here for a different
you're
reason.
You're so cheap.
I am. You're right. I've been bought with T-shirts. I've been bought with bumper stickers. And someone even gave me a book one time called 72 Things Younger Than John McCain. So, or older? No, it was younger.
It might come up in our later conversation.
Right. So anyway, the real reason you're here, and today, as I kind of teased, is a significant date in history.
Mm-hmm. It's when the 17th Amendment got through Congress on its way to ratification. And the 17th Amendment, if I could explain it, the original Constitution called for all the senators to be appointed by the state legislatures thereof. And a lot of bannering came over the next 50 years where people were saying, hey, look, the Senate's getting owned by the railroads and the steel people, and they were all corrupted and everything. And so they started pushing for an amendment to have the senators elected by popular vote. And it was ratified in 1913. And you talk to a lot of people who know the Constitution and its history, they think it was a torpedo in the side of our republic.
But the original amendment itself was, it was May 12th or 13th. It was what? Approved, not ratified?
It was approved by Congress.
Yes.
Then it went to the final stage of ratification and was ratified in April of 1913.
Ron, did you have a question about this, or did you have a comment about this, about the selection or election of senators? What would you rather see?
Oh, I thought it would be better to have them under the state legislature because you had a balanced system. So you had you directly elect your congressman.
Or representative.
Yeah, your representative in the House of Representatives. And the president is that you actually vote for an elector in the Electoral College. And those are depending on the number of congressmen, mm-hmm. the members of the House and the Senate. So that's not really a direct method. And then the protectors of states' rights were the senators, because the senators worked for the state legislature. So you had somebody that was looked out for the interests of the legislature. So you had a balanced system. And when you had a populist movement going on around that time, they all passed an income tax, and some other stuff, the Federal Reserve. But I think this threw the whole thing out of kilter when you went to the direct election of U.S. senators.
And the real significance to our state is that this is 3 months after Arizona became a state. Literally, February 14th, 1912, and then May 13th of the same year, this happens. So Arizona enters the Union thinking, oh, we're going to select two senators, and it didn't happen that way.
You know, I made a point in one of my books that the state-appointed senators were the guardians of the Tenth Amendment. The Tenth Amendment restricted government could only do what was the Constitution said it could do.
Right.
But it threw everything into populism, popular opinion, and everything. And with that amendment, they started doing all sorts of things government should not do.
So now, 100 and some years later, there's a big change in the Republic. Do you think that signaled that change?
It all stemmed from that. I don't think Congress realized its power till LBJ became president with his war on poverty and stuff like this. And then they started pushing more and more for this talk. You always hear, we're a democracy. We're not. We're a republic.
Exactly.
And there were several things about being a republic that we still have. Well, we still have the Electoral College. That is
sort of,
hopefully,
yeah. Yes.
Hopefully we'll have it for a long time.
But that is one of the important things about being a republic, is essentially it has the states picking the president rather than the popular vote. And the separation of powers, which is now being corroded, and the constitutional amendment process, where 3/4 of the states have to approve an amendment.
Well, this is a really good point, and I want to talk about this, the process of getting an amendment to the Constitution, because we're in the middle of this abortion battle right now, right? And they're saying, we're going to get this through Congress, we're going to get that through Congress. Well, whatever happened to the amendment process, where the states, why wouldn't there be an amendment that they say, you know, abortion is a right guaranteed in the Constitution? No, it isn't. It's not like the right to bear arms, but if you wanted to make it a right.
The right to bear arms didn't, bear in mind, the Constitution did not even apply to the states until after the interpretation of the 14th Amendment.
If you want to say it's part of the Constitution, then make an amendment to the Constitution that says abortion is legal. Don't put it through Congress.
They don't want to do something the right way. They want to agitate their followers to make them believe they are victims of the Constitution. This is part of the process of destroying the Constitution.
Right.
The Democrats, they know what they're doing. They
Absolutely.
Know what they should be doing. They know what they shouldn't be doing. And what they're doing is they're pushing their faction to so there's greater disrespect for A, Republicans, and B, in our Constitution.
It's more about populism than it is about principle.
Well, look at the lack of respect to the Supreme Court now.
Oh, good.
You know, you have they won't even enforce the law that says you can't stalk a Supreme Court justice. They're showing up at their houses.
That's a very good point.
And that's a federal law.
Yeah, it's a law. They won't even enforce the law.
Right.
Because they're trying, and now you're going after Clarence Thomas over, because he's got a rich buddy that never brought anything before him.
Well, they think there's smoke there, but obviously there isn't,
yeah.
because
and
nothing has
they were
become
talking,
of it.
Yeah, they were talking about his grandnephew, the guy, I forget the guy's name, the grandnephew. His tuition, the rich guy was paying the tuition, but the rich guy also was a benefactor of that school and always had about a dozen kids that he was paying tuition for, so it wasn't unusual.
So I want to take a short break, hold that thought, Stephen, and I want to talk about the process of getting an amendment to the Constitution. You want to go over that? People may
okay.
have forgotten
All
since
right.
their high school history class, plus whatever else it is that you wanted to mention about the 17th Amendment.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Well, I actually wanted to talk about Clarence Thomas being a drag racing fan.
You mean a drag queen fan?
No way.
Drag racing fan.
Drag racing.
I got you. Well, the word drag was in there, right?
Sure.
All right. Back with more in a moment. And I've got some questions for Stephen as well. It's author and historian Stephen Mikoski. No matter what he says, I still call him an historian. And no matter what you say, you're still District 5 Mojave County Supervisor Ron Gould.
Yeah, till the next election at least.
With residents in Yucca?
What?
Residents
yeah,
in Yucca?
Yeah.
I thought so. So you're a Yuckin.
Yep.
Yuck, yuck. All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
This is your game.
I saw a little town at some big twister. Tore apart. People came from miles around just to help the neighbors out.
Cause we'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list and a statue of Liberty Star.
There it is, Ron. Banned by NBC.
Banned by NBC.
I still have to verify that.
Yeah, I don't know where I heard it, but how I think I heard it from Toby Keith. They wouldn't. That he said in some interview that they wouldn't play it on. He got banned on NBC.
Probably like 20 years ago, right?
Yeah,
it's probably unbanned by now.
Who knows?
I don't know.
I haven't listened to NBC. The last time I listened to NBC, I was on it. So
right. Oh, gotcha. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. GDK LLC, Springberg Wealth Management, Patio Paradise, Les Olson IT. Find them online at lesolson.com/Kingman. And by The Chair, Havasu-style dining and great music with live entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere. Overlooking the London Bridge.
Or even a gigantic human like me can look like a little child if you sit properly in the chair.
You're the one who said that. Like one of the little rascals that has a
beard.
Yeah,
we were down there eating, and my wife and I kind of leaned up against the chair, and somebody took our picture. They go, no, you're not doing it right. You got to get up in the chair. So you get up in the chair, and your feet are way out there, and it looks like two little kids with old faces on them. You'll get in their picture in a chair.
That's funny.
It's got a weird optical illusion.
That's funny. Don't forget, you can stream.
Made me look way older than I really am.
You can stream our signal live at KNTRtalk.com, and the show archives are also there. And the archives are also on the Lake Havasu City app, available at the Google Play and Apple iStore. You also wanted to talk about Constitution Week.
Oh, okay, yes. Tom Goodfellow and Mary, his wife, they hold a Constitution Week here in Lake Havasu. It's going to start on September 17th, which is Constitution Day. And we're planning some good speakers. We're trying to get flybys and everything. This is going to be a much bigger shindig. Last year was the first. We learned something on the first Constitution right. Week, and we're really going to have a shindig for the next
year. You're talking about a really cool presentation of colors, too,
yeah.
Possibly.
Well, we're
working on
don't
want to give that away, though.
Yeah, I don't want to give that away.
We're working on a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. So tell me, if the Senate could return to members who were appointed by state legislatures, would it now make a difference?
I do not believe so. I think the reason is because people do not understand what our Constitution should be, what the government should be doing in the first place. And I think the biggest co-opting that the Democrats have ever done is in our education system and following it up with the media system. Because people, they're hearing, they're taking your rights away. They're banning books and everything without telling the entire truth.
My question is, and Ron might agree with me here, so state legislatures, especially in Arizona, are turn over every 2 years, right? They have the potential to turn over every 2 years. And a Senate term...
The potential is there.
Yeah.
Yes.
But a Senate term is 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that create a problem?
No, I don't
are
see
you going to appoint a senator for 6 years with a, let's say a Democratic Senate appoints a Democratic, or a Democratic legislature appoints a Democrat senator, and then that flips to Republican, and yet our state's still represented by a Democrat.
I believe they can call them home.
They can
Doesn't that
recall.
Create an interesting
every
problem?
State, every state has its ability of doing things, but the problem.
It's supposed to be long.
Yeah, you look at each state on their own. Look at California. Do you think that state would ever appoint a Republican for anything?
Not right now.
You know, and it's there's no way.
And they had two Republican. Well, they had a Republican governor for years, Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, he left,
right?
And the whole place. And you had Pete Wilson. You had George.
But he beat
George
a Democrat.
Duke Majan also.
Pat Brown was a Democrat.
Yeah,
and the state. Has
they had Wilson. I forget what year Wilson was governor up into the 90s.
He was a Republican,
yeah.
Correct?
Yes, he was.
Right.
You have that challenge coin here. Where'd you do that thing?
I do.
You threw it away already?
No.
Look,
you can't have it back.
Read the back part
there
of it.
You
read the back part.
Okay. This is Article 4, Section 4. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a Republican form of government, and shall protect each of them against invasion.
Okay, now, here's the thing. In the Constitution, all forms of state governments should be Republican in form. California is getting close to becoming a mob democracy. Will Congress do anything about that?
I see what you're saying.
You know, I'm waiting for somebody to come out and call California on the carpet because they are venturing too far away from a Republican form. I mean, what are they doing now with the reparations? They're varying between $340 million or $340,000 for each person versus $2.1 million
But now, wait a minute. When the Constitution was written and they said a Republican form of government, that doesn't mean Republican
party.
The Republican Party wasn't even founded yet.
It means you elect your representatives and your representatives vote.
Okay.
They represent you, and then at the next election, you get to choose whether you want to keep them or hire somebody
so
new.
So the makeup of the legislature right now in California is what, 75-25?
Yeah,
as far
it's
as
bad.
Democrat to Republican? It's a super, super majority.
Yeah, it's Republican with a little r, not a big r.
Right.
A micro r.
Yeah.
The thing is, a republic basically is a form of government that has a foundation that's set and is very hard to change. That's where the constitutional amendments are so difficult. It takes two-thirds of a vote to get it enrolling, and it takes three-quarters to get it ratified.
It was designed to be difficult to get
correct.
An amendment to the Constitution.
Correct.
What's the last amendment that was put on the Constitution?
27 or something like that?
Has it only been 27?
Yeah, it's 26 or 27.
Was it the right to vote for 18-year-olds?
Might be.
I think that might be the last one.
I don't know.
Maybe we have a caller out there who wants to jump on Google.
Congressional
give us a call.
Succession.
Back to, would it be any different now than it under the election versus the appointment? In 2010, John McCain was not very popular with conservatives.
He was Hillary Clinton's favorite Republican.
We had 20, or either 18 or 20 Republicans in the state Senate, and only three of us supported J.D. Hayworth over John McCain in the election. All the other Republicans endorsed McCain.
Interesting.
So the odds of us calling McCain home was slim.
I interviewed both during that campaign,
right,
by the way.
Right.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, and McCain just crushed J.D. before J.D. could even get his legs under him. It was bad.
Yeah,
it was the
McCain machine.
Yeah, and had the legislature been in charge, I don't think you'd have called him home. Although he might have never been there that long, you know, if the legislature had authority over the senators.
I got you. If you want to contribute to this conversation, give us a call, 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. We'll go ahead and take a short break.
27.
You're going to stick around?
I'll stick around,
okay.
Yes.
Because we need to talk about county business, too.
Sure.
Because we live in the county of Mojave.
That's true.
All right. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. We have District 5 Mojave County Supervisor Ron Gold in the studio, along with author and historian Stephen Mykoski. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
And justice is the one thing you should always find. You got to saddle up your boys. You got to draw a hard line. When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune. That day, see your homeland.
right, we're back on Speak Out, brought to you in part by Arizona Financial Credit Union, also Mojave Community College, SunPower by Esme Electric, SamsGuns.com, the Lewis team, Remax by the Lake, with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis, by Dorita's Place, providing Havasu with all natural dog and cat food, along with pet toys since 2006, and those Havasu famous self-service doggy washes, of course, and by Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state area for over 52 years. Ask about Salmon's superior maintenance plan. Hey, folks, if you want to go to the Diamondbacks game tonight, we still have tickets, four tickets to tonight's game. It's a 6:35 first pitch. Diamondbacks and Giants, and they'll be playing all weekend long on the sports station, KNTR Sports. Welcome to the team. Check out the schedule at KNTRSports.com. And it seems like the consensus around here, and I say, what do you guys want to talk about, is the border, right?
Sure.
The border.
Before we move along, though, my on-the-spot assistant, Valerie Medina, sent me the 27th Amendment, is the last amendment, which is if Congress votes itself a raise, it doesn't take effect until they get reelected.
Oh, I didn't know that was an amendment.
Yeah, interesting that they went to...
So, Super Assistant Valerie, let us know what year that was. Because the right to vote was for 18-year-olds was passed in 1972.
Yeah, that was
right before Nixon got reelected.
Yeah, it was during the Vietnam War because they're sending people to war. That,
yeah, but strangely enough, Nixon got reelected even with the voting age being lowered. Well, a lot of younger people did not like Nixon.
Yeah,
it
but
was
Nixon
the other way around.
Nixon was trying to get out of the war too. So,
yeah, okay, if you say so. But anyway,
well,
I digress.
Unlike Biden, he didn't just pull our troops out. He bombed the hell out of North Vietnam. But
I had an unfair influence in a couple sisters who were teenagers in those days.
Oh, yeah?
No one
cares what their sister thinks.
I'm just saying that it, you know, when come back and they're in their hippies. And anyway, I digress. So,
sure.
Anyway, let's talk about the border. 6 million so far invading our country in just 2 years. Which is the same number of illegals that Ronald Reagan made citizens, right?
1992.
Back in the day. Was that in 92?
Yeah, 27th Reagan? Amendment was ratified in 1992.
Oh, 1992.
Which we should remember, we suck because we don't remember that.
I was thinking of Reagan making those people citizens.
That wasn't Reagan.
Citizens.
That would be George the First.
We're talking about two different things.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about people being made citizens that aren't citizens of this country.
Sure.
And didn't come in the correct way and didn't pay the legal fees or anything. They were just made U.S. citizens.
Right.
By 84.
He got gamed by Congress and by Tip O'Neill on that.
Okay.
There was supposed to be some checks on that, and the Congress never went through the checks. And it still was a bad policy by Reagan.
Go ahead, Steve.
By the way, I was thinking, and I confirmed it, that last amendment was one of the first 12 proposed amendments to our Constitution. The first 10 became the Bill of Rights.
Oh.
But they reintroduced it.
200 and some years later.
Yeah, wait, exactly.
Wait.
They're slow readers.
Back up a second. So the Bill of Rights was originally 12 amendments?
It wasn't the Bill of Rights.
No, the concept.
Yes. The concept was.
Interesting.
And
what was the 11th? Do you remember?
Probably didn't number the other ones.
They probably were concepts.
And they were hashing them out in a smoke-filled room, I would assume.
It was about the number of citizens per each congressional district. That didn't go through either.
He's Johnny on the spot over here.
Yeah.
Very good. So what's... you know, Governor Hobbs is talking about assistance to cities and this and that without actually providing much in the way of support. I mean, we're talking maybe National Guard going down to the border and helping Border Patrol along with U.S. troops, correct?
Yeah, but the U.S. troops are doing paperwork.
Oh, yeah,
they're
absolutely.
Not on the border. And you run into a problem with Posse Comitatus also.
What's Posse Comitatus?
You can't deploy you can't deploy the Army for use inside the country.
So they would
have to they would have to suspend Posse Comitatus. I don't know whether, and that's from the Civil War. It was about passed after Reconstruction because of the, they took away all the rights of the Southerners following the war between the states. But I think they run into a problem if they actually put them on the border without declaring a war. So,
you know, on that coin, Article 4, Section 4 guarantees.
I actually handed it back to
the literal coin. I thought it was a figure of speech there.
Guarantees them against invasion. They will protect us. And this is what gets me, because right now, Congress, what are you doing? The Republicans are in the majority, and we have the Constitution say we have to protect the U.S. against invasion. And, you know, which thumb are they sitting on, you know?
Well, they only control one half of Congress.
I still, they can't get together with the Democrats and change this asylum rule, which is you show up here and claim asylum. They give you a bus or a plane ride, give you a debit card, and give you a court date in 12 years.
But this,
that's just ridiculous.
But this isn't the first election cycle that the border's been broken.
No,
it's been broken since I was a kid.
Yeah, it's a new scam, though. I think they popularized the scam a few years back. Before, you would just show up. And this is interesting, because even if they ship you back, you can try again.
My problem with the current system, and my grandparents went through the immigration system from Quebec, and it took my grandmother 5 years to become a citizen and my grandfather 3 months because he was married to a citizen after that.
Sure.
After she went through the process. This is like in the 1920s.
Right.
My problem,
and before that, you had open immigration.
Anyway, my problem with the whole thing is that these people get in for free. There's no protections from immigrants getting across the border from Mexico, yet you, I, or Stephen need a passport to get back across.
Right.
We have to pay the government for the right to get back to our home country. That is a problem with me.
You want to talk to somebody that's more mad about illegal immigration than anybody, talk to somebody that legally immigrated. Went through the trouble to do that, you know, where they should have just went down to Mexico and run across the border.
And why, guys, are there roadblocks up for the Cubans or other communist countries like Venezuela? There's roadblocks up for those.
Yeah, I think a lot of the people that are coming up are Venezuelans.
They don't want them here, though, because they know what it's like to go the route of communism.
They only want the cartel members.
I might agree with you there, too.
You cannot assimilate this many people into the country.
Right. And that isn't
and
you, that
you're going to what's going to happen, you're going to balkanize the country to where you're going to have a bunch of little countries.
Right.
And you're going to have the same thing that you had in the Balkans.
We already created
a country out of independent people, different countries, and slammed them all together under Marshal Tito.
And we already do in the big cities. If you go to the bigger cities, you'll see Koreatown, Chinatown, other sections, as you just mentioned. Speaking of a section of town, something that we've addressed here on Speak Out, the zone has been cleared. I saw a picture today online. The zone in downtown Phoenix, it's just, there's nothing there. There's no tents. There's no nothing. There's a actual sidewalk, and then you see businesses, and everybody's like, well, where did they go? Where did the homeless go?
They cleared the whole place out, or just the part that they want to take a picture of?
This was a two square mile encampment of homeless people in downtown Phoenix, Stephen.
So where did they go?
We don't know. We don't know. But it's probably a good time for them to leave.
Are they working for the FBI
110 degree temperatures are about to set in.
Either that or they had to make space for the illegal aliens.
And that could get ugly. Oh, that could be true, too. You could have like a little Havana that they had in Florida when for lack of a better term, the boat people came over from
aerial boat lift
from Havana. Exactly.
Sure.
So, okay, what about the stoplight here in White Hills? I hate to be random and switch back to county business. What is going on with that? I see it in the news about once or twice a week now.
Yeah, we had sent a letter to we have no control over that state highway. And that was someday will be Interstate 11.
Soon it will be a federal highway.
Yeah, it'll be interstate. And apparently the person that owns the mini mart there, the travel center, paid for a stoplight in front of his business. So you're hauling through the desert, and then all of a sudden you have to come to a stop. Supervisor Johnson brought this up, and we sent a letter to ADOT and told them it was a bad idea and asked them to take it down. And then following our vote to do that, they, I think, had two accidents there. And they probably still had more accidents there. So we're going to ask our legislators to deal with it.
Is the county protected liability-wise on this?
Yeah, it's not our highway.
Because it's not your highway.
Right.
And you didn't okay the the county didn't.
They don't ask for our opinion. ADOT does what they want. They might ask for our opinion, but.
So this did not go through Public Works in any way?
No. No, it's a state. It's a state highway.
You were laughing, Stephen. Do you have experience with this section of road?
No. I was wondering where it was, but the fact that the guy had a stop sign put up in front of his business cracked me up.
It's a full blown intersection with a turn lane and yeah.
We don't even have that at the Pierce Ferry Road that goes to the Skywalk.
It's not just a flashing red light.
No, it's actually
a full blown intersection with a boom coming over the lanes and
What'll be the rub is if ADOT closes that down, they're going to have to give the guys money back.
You see signals like this when you go into Phoenix, say Bell Road, like in is it Surprise? I'm thinking of very north. North of you see this, but that's different. That's actually a road. You're off the interstate now, or you're off the state highway 93. You know, as you go towards Phoenix and you leave Wickenburg.
Right.
Let's say you don't take the highway over to Lake Pleasant.
Right.
So anyway, you do see that, but this is different. This is, it's called Last Stop Gas?
Something like that.
And
it's in White Hills.
It's where a lot of Nevadans go to get Arizona lottery tickets. Okay, because it's the last stop before you get to Hoover Dam, or the Hoover Dam Bridge.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's
And the rub will be that they'll have to pay. I'm assuming they would have to give the guys money back.
But if you do 75 miles an hour, Stephen, on this roadway, you're going slow. I did the drive one time. I had time, so I slowed down and thought, I'll save some gas, get 40 miles to the gallon like my car should, right? Like it did at the Yucca Proving Grounds or whatever. And I got people passing me just.
Right. Phew. Yeah, they're moving fast.
Oh, yeah.
When I was a senator, I think ADOT told me the average highway speed for on rural highways was like 83.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
That's nothing to me. I used to live in Germany.
Really?
Yes.
What part of Germany?
Near. South of Würzburg.
But you could access the Autobahn?
Oh, good Lord, yes. We once drove to Strasbourg, France to go skydiving there. Left at 2 in the morning, and for 30 minutes I drove at 135 miles an hour.
I got you.
And I got passed.
Wow. So let's talk about these. Is it a letter of interest? I think we've talked about this before. You've got people putting in, I don't know if it's a letter of interest or something. They signal their interest in running for office now. I've never seen this before, this election cycle coming up, where now you have Sonny Borelli is going to challenge Buster Johnson.
Sure.
You have Hilde changed from the legislative seat to the senator seat, right? And now Leo Biasucci is going to run for a fourth term.
Right.
When did this start, this whole letter, declaring your interest?
Well, you always do that.
I've never heard of it before.
They just haven't been reporting
it. Wasn't publicized.
You fill out a paper that says that you intend to run.
Well, Dave Hawkins, if you're listening, I think Dave found a new website or something where he could find those letters really
quick.
Could be.
But you've always did that, and then you can start gathering signatures because you have to petition to get on the ballot.
I got you.
So that's the beginning of, and I don't think, I guess we've got a resign to run law, but that if you're in the last year of your term, you don't have to pull the trigger on that. And they're kind of, the way it's interpreted now, they can gather signatures on an exploratory committee up until, the moment before they turn the signatures in. So it really doesn't have a lot of effect.
Okay.
At that point, if you're in a seat that has more a term, that goes on for a couple more years, you have to resign at that point.
Have you declared you're running yet?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah,
So when do you pull petitions then?
I can do them right now. I just haven't started.
Oh, interesting. You can do it this early.
Yeah. I used to wait until after the first of the year of election year. It just seemed like a cleaner way to do it.
Let's take a phone call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey, Paulie, how you doing?
What's up, Jack?
Hi,
you been?
Ron.
Hi.
Hey, Ron, I don't like to do this, but I have to slightly chastise Valerie.
Uh-oh.
And she says she always listens, so, Valerie, I hope you're listening.
I thought you were her biggest fan.
Well, I am, but just a little bone to pick, that's all.
Okay.
I was in her office, and you weren't there, Ron, and she says, well, would you like to set up a meeting with Ron? I said, yeah, I'd love to do that, just to meet, so we can meet. Well, that's been like a month and a half. Valerie, you listening? Anyway, that's all I had.
Okay.
She'll probably give you a call now.
Yeah, it's always nice to I always enjoy it when you're on, Ron.
I figured you had her email. You could just...
I don't. She didn't give it to me. I don't know.
Smart. It's probably Valerie.Medina, right?
I gave her my number, so...
Medina.V.
Medina.V?
Yeah.
Oh, what? Interesting. What is it?
Medina... Actually, you got to drop some...
Medina V?
I think it's the first five letters of your last name, and then your first initial.
So it'd be Medin
at Mojave.gov.
So it'd be Medin V?
Yeah, it's...
Oh, yeah, right, because Rogers is Gallo R.
Yeah.
I got you.
Which makes it's weird.
Okay.
You have to know the secret code. Okay. Apparently, it's kind of an easy secret code, but...
Well, hopefully she'll give me a call. Okay, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jack.
Thanks, bye. Jack.
Appreciate it. Jack's our new Kenny, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He's the new Kenny.
Kenny's not calling anymore?
I don't think he gets the show anymore.
You know what? We cannot hear the station in Yucca.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I don't know what to say about that. I'm not really privy to all those decisions.
You can listen to it on the internet, though.
Those types of decisions are made in the bowels of the mothership, as you know.
Yeah.
So I can't really speak to that. So anyway, Constitution Week begins on September 17th.
Mm-hmm. Constitution Day.
You should get a valued speaker like Supervisor Gould here.
Low value speaker.
No, we have.
You should see this guy on the stump, though.
We have been bringing in some incredible people. Well, last year we did constitutional experts. We had John Eastman in.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm.
I know him.
Yes, and he was the finishing speaker, but John Eastman used to be the dean of the law school.
Chapman College.
Yeah, Chapman College. And he did a lot of work for President Trump when he was...
I think he's also the guy that they pulled him over in the drive-thru of the Chick-fil-A and grabbed his telephone.
What?
The FBI did.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what? I think you're right.
You did.
Yeah.
So if you're a conservative speaker or a conservative historian who knows the Constitution, you're a threat to the FBI?
Yeah, apparently, if you're working for President Trump, you are. I had him... as a witness when I was running a bill that was would have challenged the current bureaucratic interpretation of the 14th Amendment regarding citizenship.
Interesting.
He's written papers on that. Uh-huh. They've been very good.
There's another topic. I'm probably going to get in trouble for this, but, you know, the word defund is a bad word in our circles, right? When they say defund the police, defund the...
Depends on what you're defunding.
I want to dismantle, because of their current antics in that with the Biden family investigation, I want to dismantle the FBI and have them all reapply for their jobs. I think that's my idea.
Yeah, it's the creation of Congress anyway.
But not defund the FBI. Just dismantle it and then put it back together again the right way.
Well, when you start using it as a political weapon.
You think I'll be audited over that or what?
I don't know.
No, that's Treasury Department. That's a different group.
Well, I think they're all working in cahoots, actually. So anyway, we have run its course today with the show. Thank you for being on, Stephen.
My pleasure.
He's my new best friend. Today.
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 Today. Tomorrow, it's who is this guy?
Tomorrow's another day.
Right. So PACE is actually the program at the high school, right?
Elementary schools, really.
Elementary school.
Yes.
Patriotic Americans for Constitutional Education. And we always have Diane Klostermeyer in to do the PACE drawing. She's a big part of that program as well.
Yep. She's number one.
Well, thank you for being here, Stephen.
And Holly Antoveros.
Stephen Mikoski, author and historian, along with District 5 Mojave County Supervisor Ron Gould. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Paul.
Go be an air conditioning guy now.
Yeah, I might have to. It's getting hot.
All right. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, great show today. Got a lot of good shows lined up next week. The Chiefs will be on Monday. Not the Kansas City Chiefs, but the Police Chief and the Fire Chief. We've got Scott Badekiefer coming on from Pennsylvania. He's going to give us a trucking update. There's a lot of weird laws happening in California right now, folks, when it comes to the industry. And somebody from Callbacks 911, and they're going to talk about this cancel button that the FTC is working to push onto apps. so it'll be easier to cancel those subscriptions to TV and streaming services, of course. We'll have the Real Estate Power Hour on Wednesday. Boom! Western Arizona Senior Living on Thursday, and we'll have State Representative John Gillette on Friday. Join us then on Speak Out.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.